Radio Daily for Weekend Eve. That's right. It is here yet again, giving us the glimmer of hope that things get better until we are reminded just a few scant days later that that's simply not true. Hi, depressed people. How are you doing? We're the fine folks from GeekRadioDaily.com, welcoming you to the 9th, almost double digits of June. Yay. The folks that are bringing it to you today, the man that needs to come see his bosses after giving his feedback on the last meeting, that there's podcasting for Siegfried.
You've got a hard head. How about using it for something other than a blunt object?
That's just, they don't like it when you're that direct. And me, I'm the guy that will tell you exactly who this gentleman and I really are. I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
Under this garb, we're perfectly ordinary Americans.
Ordinary Americans. The good kind, not the current kind. What happened this fine day, sir?
In 1790, the Philadelphia Spelling Book by John Barry becomes the first book to be registered under the U.S. Copyright Act in the United States.
1883, the first commercial electric railway line goes into operation in Chicago.
1891, Thomas Edison is issued a patent for an additional innovation for his phonograph.
1902, Joe Horn and Frank Hardart open the Horn and Hardart Automat Restaurant, the first restaurant with vending machine service in Philadelphia.
1905, Albert Einstein publishes his analysis of Planck's quantum theory and its application to light in the journal Annalen der Physik, Annals of Physics. Though no experimental work was involved, it is for these insights that Einstein will later earn his Nobel Prize.
1914, Thomas Edison is granted 3 patents related to a phonograph reproducer, a patent for method of making sound record molds, of which he got 2 patents for that. I don't know what the second one was really for.
1922, Joseph Tykosinski, a professor at the University of Illinois, demonstrates the earliest sound on film system.
1934, the Disney character Donald Duck first appears in the Silly Symphonies cartoon The Wise Little Hen, based on the fairy tale The Little Red Hen, who apparently was wise.
1959, the USS George Washington, the first submarine to carry ballistic missiles, is launched. No, not the missiles, just George Washington.
1978, 20th Century Fox releases the film Damien, Omen 2, directed by Don Taylor, starring William Holden, who turned down a role in the first one, Lee Grant, Sylvia Sidney, Lou Aries, Robert Foxworth, and Jonathan Scott Taylor Thomas. No, that's wrong.
1986, the Rogers Commission releases its report on the Space Shuttle Challenger disaster. The report lays the blame for the disaster on the Morton Thiokol Corporation, the contractor that had designed and manufactured the catastrophically flawed O-rings that failed during the Challenger's launch.
1989, Paramount Pictures releases the science fiction film Star Trek V, The Final Frontier, directed by William Shatner, starring William Shatner, Leonard Nimoy, DeForest Kelly, James Doohan, George Takei, Walter Koenig, Nichelle Nichols, trying to answer the questions, why is Captain Kirk climbing a mountain?
1993, Universal Pictures premieres the science fiction film Jurassic Park, directed by Steven Spielberg, and starring Sam Neill, Laura Dern, Jeff Goldblum, and Richard Attenborough at the National Building Museum in Washington, D.C. Why are they releasing a movie this year instead of next year around this time? I don't know.
People. 1999, J. Michael Straczynski's science fiction television series Crusade premieres with the episode Warzone. It's a spinoff of Babylon 5.
2000, the San Jose Mercury News reports that an April survey conducted by the Pew Internet Project has determined that 13 million Americans are downloading music files without charge to their computer. Fewer than 2 million Americans pay any fee to download their music. The halcyon days of Napster.
Same day, same year, the Washington Post reports the White House has lost an entire year's worth of Vice President Al Gore's emails. Remember when stuff like that mattered to folks?
Buttery mails. Buttery mails. 2005, the American Film Institute awards George Lucas its Life Achievement Award at a gala tribute in Los Angeles shortly after the release of Star Wars Episode III, Revenge of the Sith, because they hadn't watched it.
2085, 01 robot community thrives and creates superior vehicles, computers, and weaponry to wipe out many human nations. Perhaps, if the Matrix gets reloaded. Birthdays?
Regan Wallace is 35. Six String Samurai, adaptation, an extreme movie.
Natalie Portman is 41 for Mars Attacks, those Star Wars movies. V for Vendetta.
And, of course, appearing here very soon in Thor, Love and Thunder.
Oh, my God, she finally gets to be the mighty Thor, yes.
Andrew Walker is 43, Cole on Sabrina the Teenage Witch, and 10.5 Apocalypse.
Michaela Conlon is 44, Angela on Bones.
Gloria Rubin is 58 from Falling Skies and Mr. Robot.
Johnny Depp is 59 from Nightmare on Elm Street, Edward Scissorhands, Benny and June, and Ed Wood.
Those are really the only films that I will acknowledge. Okay, the first Pirates film.
Wonder what he's been up to lately. Michael J. Fox is 61 from Midnight Madness, Family Ties, Back to the Future, and the highly underrated,
oh God,
The Frighteners.
That movie is so good, and they totally ripped off Peter Jackson with the Dementors, because that's what those damn things are in The Frighteners. Those are Dementors.
Mm-hmm.
George Perez.
I think you're to do.
George Perez is 68, comic writer and illustrator, gave us Crisis on Infinite Earths as well as The Infinity Gauntlet.
Gregory Maguire, 68, author of Wicked and Confessions of an Ugly Stepsister.
No longer with us, Wednesday, 1924, Tony Breton, Day of the Jackal, People That Time Forgot.
1812, Johann Gottfried Gall, first person to view the planet Neptune.
1910, Robert Cummings from Saboteur, Dial M for Murder, Beach Party.
And 1928, Jackie Mason from The Jerk, Krusty's dad on The Simpsons, and an old school Borscht Belt stand-up comic. Influenced a lot of people.
I can't tell you how important Tony Breton is to me.
On CBS, we've got CBS News, capital assault hearings, followed by Bull. That's unfortunate.
I think that's going to be the response from the other side. ABC's got Celebrity Family Feud and Press Your Luck.
NBC has Law and Order, Law and Order Special Victims Unit, and Law and Order Orenthal Christian Academy.
Fox, the semifinal on a new MasterChef Junior, and I'm about to shock the world on a new Don't Forget the Lyrics, which means you don't forget them and that shocks the world? I don't understand.
I think you forget them.
Ah.
That would be shocking. It's right there in the title. CW Search and Rescue on a new Walker and a new Legacies.
FX will be showing Sing!
AMC has The Great Outdoors.
Oh my God, they're showing that, like, they have, no one has shown that in 20 years. All of a sudden they're, okay. FXX Simpsons Marathon, My Sister, My Sitter, and Homer versus the 18th Amendment. You can look it up, but you should know what that is.
Yeah. FXM has Deadpool.
BBC America has Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves. If you want to see an awful movie only saved by the wonderfulness that is the Sheriff of Nottingham, then by all means.
Siffy has Robin Hood, Prince of Be. Oh, wait, no, that's what I'm planning on watching tonight. Siffy has Signs.
TBS, The Case of the Missing Meat on a New Rat in the Kitchen.
Also, something I rented for. TNT has Star Wars, The Rise of Skywalker.
Science has new strange evidence, but we're watching the Lifetime Movie Network. Inspired by true events, Angela West has always wanted a family, and she's got one with her devoted husband, Keith, who couldn't be happier, but an ex-boyfriend starts stalking her, and she turns to Keith for protection, but no matter what she tries, she can't shake the stalker that's ruining her life. Paniz Zadeh and Luke Humphrey star in I Won't Let You Go.
The wonderful Billy Flynn looks at what Chad and Abby are up to now. If you know what TV show they're on this week, you could win yourself a prize. It's your Further Adventures of Chad and Abby update. Chloe's apartment gets robbed, and Abby's worried that the crook may return to the building, so she buys herself a new high-tech, very expensive alarm system that won't get installed till tomorrow, which is so very far away. Now, Abby gets freaked out in the night by a series of bumps and noises, which terrifies her so bad that she calls her mom. Oh, Abby, we get that you're just chasing life, but look, you're not in the lion's den. Your apartment is not an open house. Don't worry. Hashtag Chabby forever.
You've got mail.
Hello, my geeky people. Did anyone else think the word Vicoots and Apopoli Vestataris, created by the AI programs discussed on Tuesday's episode, sound like the gibberish created by H.P. Lovecraft? The machines won't need to create Terminators. They'll just open the gates for the great old ones. But in a way, wouldn't it be poetic how many hells we humans created just for The Sims? That's from Mad Cy, who got me thinking on a level I wasn't ready for yet.
Yeah, that would be cool. Just, you know, we got to make sure he doesn't name our cats.
Greetings, GRD crew. Okay, yeah, so it took to Tuesday. Comparably late in the day, in fact. I have a confession. You stumped me on a one-day guess. And if Chad and Abby are not on, then you've stumped me on a two-day guess, and it will be back to the internet for more research. I don't like this feeling. Cheers. That is from Jared in Anaheim. Well, Jared, I'm very happy that I snubbed you for one day. But yeah, you got it on the second one. I guess I really should have done what I did today sooner in the week to F with you more. What does that mean? If you've got the slightest idea, drop us a note, won't you please? It's podcast at geekradiodaily.com. Of course, a voicemail, text message. You need the magic numbers of
510-GRD.
dear girl.
Because I really think what I did today was really kind of clever.
We let things pile up in the DVR. We add them to our queues. We wait for the DVDs and Blu-rays. We time shift. The Time Shifters Podcast. Sci-fi, horror, fantasy, superheroes, comedy, action, film, television, maybe some not-so-current events. Find us on iTunes or at timeshifterspodcast.com.
Hey guys, it's Jason David Frank, the Green Ranger, and you're listening to Geek Radio Daily.
Yeah. You know, he's at a convention somewhere right now, because that's just what that man does. He's a giver.
Greetings, Starfighter. You have been recruited by the Star League to defend the frontier against Zur and the Clodan Armada. Get ready. Prepare for blast off.
One thing I knew is that my allies and I had just obliterated the largest horde of rabid zombies I'd ever encountered, and then suddenly, Chief Wiggum 49 and Halo is my bitch 12 decided to frag me.
Deal with it. What's out this week, sir?
Well, we've got Demon Slayer Kimetsu no Hayabi, the Hinokami Chronicles. Is this supposed to be for tomorrow with the anime?
I don't even know.
Great. The Demon Slaying Arena fighting game based on the anime series Demon Slayer, a.k.a. Kimetsu no Yaiba, in Japan. It's available now for the Switch.
Mario Strikers Battle League. Mario returns to the pitch for the first time in 15 years. No word on if Ted Lasso's there, but it's on the Switch.
Quarry, a horror action adventure game following the young counselors of the summer camp Hackett's Quarry. But what turns out to be their final night at camp soon turns into a fight for survival. I can only assume because it's the ghost of Buddy Hackett. Available now for the PC.
Metal Max Xeno Reborn, a complete reimagining of Metal Max Xeno, including not only improved graphics, new feature, but a change to the more action-oriented combat system versus the original's turn-based nature for the PC.
We've also got Chivalry 2, the sequel to Torn Banner Studios' 2012 Medieval Combat Simulator. It's available for the PC.
The Hand of Merlin, a turn-based roguelike RPG following a group of mortals as they journey from Albion to Jerusalem to stop a cosmic threat for the PC. Sorry, I didn't mean to go all Michael Gambon there.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News!
Take a look at the world. From a geeky point of view, did you see it? Warner Brothers New Line premiered the trailer for DC's live-action superhero film Black Adam from Warner Brothers Pictures.
Oh, it looks so good.
Nearly 5,000 years after he was bestowed with the almighty powers of the ancient gods and imprisoned just quickly, Black Adam, Dwayne Johnson, is freed from his earthly tomb, ready to unleash his unique form of justice on the modern world.
His primary punishment is making people smell his culinary wares.
He is joined by the live-action film introduction of the Justice Society of America and co-stars Pierce Brosnan as Dr. Fate, Noah Centineo as Adam Smasher, Quintus Swindell as Cyclone, Aldous Hodge as Hawkman, along with Sarah Shahe, Marwan Cruzan, Bodhi Sangbiar, and more.
I was already in, but it sealed the deal when you mentioned Aldous Hodge.
The trailer comes over half a year after a brief glimpse of footage was released as part of the DC fandom event. Black Adam's going to open in cinemas and IMAX October 21st. This is the first official time that The Rock has played a supernaturally gifted character from Egypt. Because we sure as hell don't count the Scorpion King.
Haku Machente. Yes, I remember that. Sega has announced its newest release in the mini console fad, the Mega Drive Mini 2. Sega announced the release during a special live stream on its Japanese YouTube channel. The company confirmed the system will launch with 50 games from both the original Mega Drive and Mega Drive CD, along with ports of arcade games and something Sega describes as a mysterious new work. The live stream also revealed the console will be available in Japan starting October 27th with a 9,800 yen or $75 price tag.
A new 2 Jam and Earl?
Ooh! Sega also confirmed a handful of releases during the stream that will be available for the system, including, from the Mega Drive, Virtua Racing, Bonanza Brothers, Shining in the Darkness, Thunder Force 4, Magical Taroruto, and Fantasy Zone, and from the Mega CD, they'll have Silpede, Shining Force CD, Sonic CD, Mansion of Hidden Souls, and Popful Mail.
But not Sewer Shark? Oh, but look, though, if we play Bonanza Brothers, I call Little Joe.
All right. Riding closely off the coattails of Sega's promise to deliver multiple releases in 2022, The reveal of the Mega Drive Mini 2 comes over 4 years after the 2018 reveal of the first Mega Drive Mini, also known as the Sega Genesis Mini in North America. At an initial cost of $79.99, the first Mega Drive Mini was only half the size of the original Sega Genesis, but included 42 selectable games with full-size USB replica controllers. It was released in September of 2019 to overwhelmingly positive reviews, with critics praising its stable emulation, great selection of classics, and true to the original design. It is currently unknown if the Mega Drive Mini 2 will be released outside of Japan. I gotta say, I'm not terribly familiar with most of the titles on the list, but I mean, come on, no Golden Axe, Afterburner, or Shinobi? I got standards, man.
The GameStop in the Gateway Mall in Lincoln, Nebraska is one of the busiest around, according at least to the person who used to run it. But over the weekend, it was closed after four employees decided to walk out and never return over what he says are bad working conditions and a verbally abusive district manager. It's the second time this year GameStop in the area saw its entire staff resign in protest.
Didn't they make a lot of money with their stocks? Why are they being jerks?
Anyone visiting the store at the Gateway Mall GameStop was greeted with a makeshift sign on the door. "We regret to inform you all that we quit," the piece of paper read. A photo was shared on the Lincoln subreddit later that day. It went on, "Our district manager has no respect for us as employees or as human beings. We have already been told by our district manager that we're supposed to have had this store achieving sales quotas and running perfectly 6 months ago, which was 3 months before a lot of us even got hired. Unfortunately, despite the staff's best efforts, we are not God."
When somebody asks you if you're a God, you say yes. Yes.
A similar walkout sign taped to Lincoln, Nebraska's other GameStop earlier this year also blamed the district manager for the mass resignation. "They have actually been four walkouts since August 2021 because of him," wrote one former employee on Facebook. "Two in each location. The first one was kept pretty quiet."
Sounds like someone is due for a promotion.
While it's always been a tough retail gig built on exploiting employees' passion for gaming, there's a growing sense that turnover and burnout are worse than ever at GameStop, even as its new corporate overlords tout a pivot to crypto. Last November, employees said that they were being pushed to the breaking point during the holiday rush, and every day post about cratering morale and people quitting flooded the GameStop subreddit. Of course, GameStop would be able to keep employees by treating them better, giving benefits, and not paying them in GameStop credit. Come on, man! That thing's worth at least 30, 40 bucks!
Spider-Man has been through more costume changes and alternative suits over the years than most Marvel heroes, rivaling Iron Man for a wardrobe that could fill out several floors of Avengers Tower. But his prominence in Marvel's upcoming Zero War crossover with Fortnite is giving him yet another, and it's not half bad.
Less friction for cranking 90s!
Ahead of the release of the first issue of the five-book miniseries Fortnite x Marvel Zero War, Marvel has officially revealed that Peter Parker will don a new Zero suit in the series that readers will also be able to acquire with the first print run of issue 1 to redeem inside Fortnite. The suit itself will be available at a later date in the game store because, well, it's Fortnite and they like money.
Will Karen help me with my aim?
Oh god, I need it. Zero War isn't the first time Marvel and Fortnite have teamed up outside of the game. A previous tie-in for a Marvel-themed season tossed amnesiac Avengers into the paths of original Fortnite characters and turned their brains into mush for the Nexus War event, and ever since then there's been plenty of MCU or comic tie-ins. But Zero wants to emulate what Gage previously did with the game over at DC Comics and with the shockingly good Batman/Fortnite Zero Points. Which, of course, does mean a swanky new costume for Peter Parker.
That comic was surprisingly good. It reminded us of how good of a detective Batman is.
Really is. Like, he couldn't speak at all.
Right.
And to figure stuff out, it was amazing. The Zero suit might not continue the legacy of Spider-Man's armored suits, being the latest MK model in a line of Spider-Armors, but its lineage in Peter's history of comics armors is pretty clear. Instead of being an all-armored suit, the tactical suit vibes and the padded armor sections feel very evocative of a bunch of the old Spider armors, especially the Anti-Sinister 6 MK3, which was introduced in 99. Not too bulky for a nimble hero like Spider-Man, but enough suitable padding for the world of Fortnite where the poor guy's going to be shot at, pickaxed, or occasionally lightsabered.
Well, that makes sense since Darth Vader is the level 100 skin in the Battle Pass.
I can't wait to get him. Fortnite x Marvel Zero War number 1, and its included code to access the Zero suit in-game, hits comic shelves earlier this week. This is so cool, but I really want the Spider-Man Fantastic Four suit with a bag on his head costume. You know, I always pretended the Bombastic Bagman was the unknown comic, but, you know, got bit by a spider.
We love you, Murray Langstrom. Top Gun Maverick continues to break records and wow audiences worldwide. And one of the audience members who's impressed is John Cryer, who starred in 1991's Hot Shots, a parody slash satire of the original Top Gun. Hot Shots follows Charlie Sheen as Topper Harley, an ace Navy pilot called back to active duty for one last top secret mission. Along with Sheen as Harley, Cryer is Lieutenant Jim Washout Hackenback. The movie also starred Cary Elwes as Lieutenant Kent Gregory, Valeria Golina as Ramada Thompson, and Lloyd Bridges as Rear Admiral Thomas Tug Benson.
You know, I've personally flown over 194 missions, and I was shot down on every one. Come to think of it, I've never landed a plane in my life.
The movie did get a sequel, Hot Shots Part 2 in 93, which was amazing. The follow-up would move away from the Top Gun roots and lampoon big-budget action shoot-up films like Commando and the Rambo movies. Cryer, however, did not return for Part 2, but now that Top Gun Maverick continues to dominate the box office, some are suggesting this would be a perfect time for a Hot Shots threequel, namely Cryer himself.
I disagree. It's always a good time for more Hot Shots.
Damn right. Apparently, having recently seen Maverick, Cryer took to Twitter hinting that the Top Gun sequel success could mean it's time to revisit the Hot Shots franchise. Just saw Top Gun Maverick. Think it's time to reunite with Sheen for Hot Shots Part Trey.
Oh, please, yes. My heart is falling down around my ankles like a wet pair of pants.
While at least for now this is likely just wishful thinking on Cryer's part, the Hot Shots movies have developed somewhat of a cult status over the years. With the resounding success of Top Gun Maverick, now would be the perfect time to revisit the comedy series while the movie that inspired it is back in the zeitgeist. That said, it's difficult to say if she would even be interested in returning for another entry after well-publicized issues with substance abuse and infamous feud with showrunner Chuck Lorre got him written off 2.5 men. Sheen has largely flown under the radar.
It is one-man shows didn't take off. Shocking.
Still, if he were to agree to return for a third Hot Shots, it would likely be a delight to longtime fans of the first two movies. It would. The overwhelmingly positive reaction to Top Gun Maverick proves there's an audience for that high-flying franchise, so it stands to reason that an audience might also exist for slapstick comedy that it inspired. Judging by the enthusiastic replies to Cryer's tweets, it seems that he's far from alone in wanting to see more Hot Shots in the future. But could the series just follow a different pilot? I mean, perhaps Emilio Estevez could be cast. But it isn't like Sheen is hurting for money. After all, his net worth is $10 million. If he did take the gig, he can just take his paycheck and blow it all on hats. Seriously, Charlie Sheen and hats. Look that up. It will amuse you and it will astound you. And it might make you a little sad. It's very strange. GRD lists the creative comments, attribution, non-commercial works, blah, 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 geekreality.com. There it is.
This is also my favorite line from the movie. It is the line that I quote the most from that movie, and I love that movie.
Oh, God, those movies, I swear. Okay. Seriously, Hot Shots fans, talk to us. Let's commiserate. Let's get together. Let's make this shit happen. It's podcast at geekreativedaily.com. Voicemail, text, message, use these numbers.
510-GRD.
And we'll see you. Just as soon as we possibly can.
The arcade is now closed.
Welcome to Nerd School. Nerd.
Good night, suckers!
Scat. Skedaddle. Adios. Arrivederci. Ciao. Aloha. Fuck off.
You knew my father.
I knew him. Probably one of the few who knew him as William Turner. Everyone else just called him Bootstrap or Bootstrap Bill.
Bootstrap.
Good man. Good pirate. I swear, you look just like him.
It's not true. He was a merchant sailor. A good, respectable man who obeyed the law.
He was a bloody pirate, a scallywag.
My father was not a pirate.
Put it away, son. It's not worth you getting beat again.
You didn't beat me. You ignored the rules of engagement in a fair fight. I'd kill you.
And that's not much incentive for me to fight fair, then, is it? Now, as long as you're just hanging there, pay attention. The only rules that really matter are the what a man can do and what a man can't do. For instance, you can accept that your father was a pirate and a good man, or you can't. The pirate is in your blood, boy, so you'll have to square with that someday. Now, me, for example, I can let you drown. But I can't bring the ship into Tortuga all by me once, savvy? So. Can you sail under the command of a pirate? Or can you not?